All right, thank you for that. We're in Numbers chapter 11 tonight, and again, thank you for being with us, and I thank you for having your children watch our live stream in the mornings, and the teenagers watching them in the evenings, and so thank you for that. We're going to be in Numbers chapter 11 tonight. All of us have inside of us a leaning towards a certain quality, which is not good. And it is a quality which, if not handled correctly, a quality which, if not really rebuked, causes us to make destructive decisions in our life. It amazes me how people will lightly make a decision that will affect the rest of their lives. It affects the lives of their spouses. It'll affect the lives of their children. And yet, they'll just make it like that without a moment's hesitation. The quality I'm looking at is pride. Now, the Bible is not very kind to pride. Now, in our society, we have one time we can use the word, and it's not necessarily bad. Hey, son, I'm proud of you. That doesn't mean pride, okay? But that just means we're glad that you're acting the way that you should, or you've done a certain thing. The Bible, when it talks about pride, doesn't talk about it in a really good sense. We understand if you look at Isaiah how that was the sin that caused Satan to fall and be ousted from heaven. Why? Because he wanted to be like the Most High. He wanted to be in charge. The Bible doesn't say much good about pride. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 12 said, "When pride cometh, then cometh shame." Shame is caused by pride. None of us want to be shamed, but whenever we're reacting or deciding in pride, it does nothing but bring shame to our life. Proverbs 13:10, "Only by pride cometh contention." Pride is the source of all fights, all contention amongst others, because we all want our way, and we are all always right. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 23, a man's pride shall bring him low. It causes great loss. About that time we think we have the world tackled, about that time we think we have everything in the bag, things just don't turn out very well. I read a story about a boxer. I know who he is. His name was James Tillis. His nickname was Quick. He was from Tulsa, and he decided to go fight out of Chicago when he became a professional fighter because there were more opportunities there. He tells the story about how he took a bus to Chicago, and he got out, and he had his two suitcases. And he was going to tackle the world, and he was going to be a great fighter, and he did. I think he may have been a champion for a little while. But he said as he got off that bus, he was in Chicago, he was downtown, he went to the Sears Tower, he put his two suitcases down, he looked up at the Sears Tower, thought about it for a minute and said, "I'm going to conquer Chicago." And he said when he looked down, someone had stole both of his briefcases. It's kind of how life is. We think we have it all worked out. It also causes a great destruction. In Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 18, it said, "Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." You see, the most damaging aspect of pride is that it causes us to think we know what's best, which in turn causes us to make decisions and go directions that will hurt us greatly. All because we know what's best, we want what we want, and no one can tell us anything. During the Civil War and the Battle of the Wilderness, there was a Union general named John Sedgwick. He was out. His troops were on a line, and the enemy was down the road there. They had went through a battle, and he was walking down this line, checking things out. And his men told him, they said, "Hey, be careful here. We don't want you better stay low. We don't want one of the snipers to get you." And he said some kind of statement along the lines of, "Those guys from that angle, from that distance, couldn't hit an elephant." And a second later, he was shot in the head, and he was killed. Pride. Pride's like that. We're going to see that today in our text. God had brought the Israelites out of Egypt. Now, God's goal was not just to get them out of Egypt. That was step one. God's goal was to fulfill his promise in giving them the promised land. And step one was to get them out of Egypt and get them into the promised land, to get them through the wilderness. As they were going, they had nothing but problems. They would not listen to God. They didn't go into the promised land the first time they were supposed to. They complained about Moses. By the way, thank God Moses was a meek man. About the time when God came to Moses and said, "You know what, Moses, I'm going to get rid of these people. I'm going to start a new nation." I would have said, "Okay, where do I stand to make sure I don't get hurt?" But Moses was very meek, and yet they complained about him, and he put up with all of their nonsense. They griped about their provisions. Now, before we get on them, we got to realize we're not too much more different than that today. We have a tendency to lean towards discontentment. A lot of that has to do with our pride. I want you to notice in this story, they got exactly what they wanted. They were tired of the manna. They wanted meat. By the way, they complained. 3 days out of Egypt, 3 days after they crossed the Red Sea, they started complaining. And that was just how they were. And so they start complaining. "We're tired of this manna," although it was perfect and had everything they needed. They said, "Who will give us meat?" Not that they were asking for meat. They were complaining about it. Who can give us meat? Well, God doesn't do real well with complainers. In fact, he does really bad. And we see how God judged them. At the beginning of the chapter, they complained and God judged them. And then right after God judges them, they go right back into it again, start complaining about the food. They got their way. We saw at the end of the chapter, God gave them what they asked for, but the results were not what they thought they would be. They got what they wanted, but it did not go very well for them. Here's the point of the story. They got their own way, but they did not enjoy what they got from it. I mean, they complained and "Give us this meat," and God said, "Fine, I'm going to give it to you, and it's going to be all that distance, 2 feet high, and you're going to eat it until," God said, "I like," God has a sense of humor, "you're going to eat it until it's coming out of your nose." And they thought, "Wow, this is going to be great." And they fall upon the meat. They start eating it, and God says, "Why, the meat was still stuck in their teeth." God got upset with them, and God started judging them. They got their own way, but they didn't enjoy what they got. Things went their way, but the results were not what they wished for. They got God's judgment, and they got no satisfaction. By the way, that is so often what happens to us when we go our own way and we do our own thing. That very thing that our pride tells us we have to have, when we get it, God's judgment comes. Why? Because we're outside of God's will. Because a lot of times our pride is going to lead us to do something that is in disobedience to God, not in obedience. And that always brings problems. Or we feel we're successful, but there's no satisfaction that we gain from it. Why? Because whenever we go our own way, we are rejecting God's way. There is no way you can do your own thing and at the same time follow God's will. The two are just incompatible. It's like oil and water. And as much as you try to make it mix, it's not going to mix and it's not going to work. Instead of wanting what they wanted, they should have wanted what they already had. What was that? God's provisions, God's leading, God's plan. But that's not how pride works. Pride causes us to take control of our life and think we know what is best. So we take ourselves from being the follower to being the leader. That's an issue. God doesn't want you to lead your own life. Say, "Well, what? I don't make decisions." Oh, you have to make decisions. We make them all the time. But we make our decisions based on God's will and God's way, not on my will and my way. That's where we get into trouble. We may go where we want, but we will not end up where we wanted. We may get what we want, but we will never want what we get if we're doing it outside of God's will. Understand this. Our satisfaction in life depends on finding God's will for our life and following God's will for our life. Without that, you won't be satisfied. You can be successful in the eyes of the world. You could have everything everybody else would want, and yet you're not successful. You're not satisfied. Going God's way. Well, as I look at the story, I see some things, that some issues that had that caused them to go their own way. And understand this, going your own way is not the way to go. Never. What were some of their approaches? What are some of the things that they did? What caused them to go on their own way and forsake the path and the plan of God? First of all, they took a horrible approach. Verse 1. And I mentioned it. And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. That little phrase there, it displeased the Lord. That's a big deal. We make, you know, that whole story, I think it's chapter 11, where David is the whole situation with Bathsheba. It starts at the beginning, you know, he should have been to war, and then he sees this girl taking a bath, and I don't even know what was that all about. And then he brings her up to his room, and they're in moral, and then he sends her home, and now she's pregnant, and they're just telling the whole story. And now it's like, I got to get her husband home so that, you know, he thinks it's his baby, and everything's going to be great. And then her husband comes home, and to kind of lay the guilt burden on David, he won't even go down and see his wife. He's a good soldier. And that doesn't work. And so David, his hand is forced, and he has to send a letter saying, hey, put him up at the forefront of the battle. Go where you know you're going to have casualties and make sure he's one of them. And then kind of back away so that it's guaranteed he's going to be a casualty. And then he dies. And then they mourn. And then David brings Bathsheba up to his house, and now she becomes his wife. Everything's okay. And then at the end of that whole chapter, God is nowhere near that whole story at the very end. But the thing that David did displeased the Lord. That blew everything up. That blows everything up. God does not like it. It displeases him when we complain. The worst approach we can take in life is the approach of complaining about what God is doing. They weren't just complaining about going through a tough situation. They were complaining about something that God supernaturally provided for them. We're tired of this stuff. We want something different. Whenever we look outside of what God is doing and we allow other influences in to kind of take a look at what's going on in our life, that can cause us to have a complaining spirit. A lot of times it's somebody else. They come and start saying some things and things that you thought were good, and now all of a sudden you have a different view about it. By the way, don't listen to people that are critical. You say, well, I'm not listening to much of anybody right now. I'm not around anybody. Social media is a good thing. It's a bad thing. Don't listen to the comments. People can make anything sound bad. Okay? That's just nonsense. And we listen, oh, that was good. Oh, you know, wait. And we follow what. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But be careful about letting somebody cause you to develop a complaining spirit. You know, when we get a complaining spirit, we feel like we deserve more than we have. You know, and I know it's trite and we say it, but it's true. We deserve hell, and anything better other than that is a blessing. And by the way, God doesn't just give us heaven, although that's, I hate to even say it like that. That sounds weird just even coming out of your mouth. But God's so gracious to us on this earth. And we complain. We can think about all the things now. The way that our society is living now is still better than the majority of the world. I mean, what's the worst thing that can happen to us? We can't find toilet paper. The majority of the world doesn't use toilet paper, okay? You know, we have to wait in line to buy meat. We have to social distance. People would love, there are so many people in our, they would love to have your problem. As you sit in your home, secure, your refrigerator's full, and you're taken care of. Now, I'm not saying that you won't go through some tough times. I understand that. But sometimes when we go through tough times, it causes us to complain about what God is doing for us. Let's not have a complaining spirit. By the way, if you got everything you wanted, it would not make you a better person. You want proof? Look at our athletes. They're a bunch of knuckleheads. Most of them would be asking you if you want to supersize your fries if it wasn't for their athletic skills. And they get and they came up from I came up from here and I struggled and I made it, and they ought to be thankful. And yet what do? They complain. They complain. We got nothing to complain about. Let's not complain about what God is doing in our life. It doesn't please Him. By the way, it doesn't please other people too. No one likes to be around a complainer, right? No one does. If you can be thankful during bad times, you can for sure be thankful during good times. So let's not take a horrible approach. They took a horrible approach. Their focus was not on what God was doing for them and where God was taking them. By the way, think about this. Just thought about this. You know, why did they have to have manna for so long? Because they didn't get into the promised land in the first place. If they would have just went to the promised land, that would have been a temporary fix. It was their fault. It's amazing how we complain about situations we place ourselves in, but that's a message for another day. Number two, I want you to notice also, they had horrible acquaintances. Verse 4, I alluded to it. And the mixed multitude that were among them fell a-lusting. And the children of Israel wept again, saying, "Who shall give us flesh to eat?" They were allowing this mixed multitude, the unspiritual, really godless crowd that kind of followed along out of Egypt, they allowed them to be the influencers. Whereas the spiritual people should have been, be quiet. Like the spies, those 12 spies and 10 were bad. Joshua and Caleb were like, "I don't know what these guys are talking about. We can go take care of this thing." But it seems like people listen to the least spiritual people. You know, it's funny. Some people have a philosophy of Sunday school. We don't have it here where, you know, the adults all get together and you tell them a little two-minute story from the Bible and everybody just asks questions or gives their input. We don't do that. I'm okay with your input. I don't want the least spiritual person in Sunday school class commandeering the floor. Okay? Remember one time when we had a class back in the old days and I had the singles and this girl was in there and I just started my lesson and she had this, she was a visitor, God bless her. She had this look on her face. I'm like, okay. And I just got up, "Hey, we're going to talk about love today. I don't see anywhere in this chapter it talks about love." I'm like, "Well, why don't you let me finish the lesson and you'll probably see it." But they want to take over the class. The least spiritual people want to be the ones that talk the most. They want to be the ones that jump to the forefront. By the way, if you have something good to say, encourage one another. But if you're a negative person, keep it to yourself. I've told you many times, heard a message from a pastor 25 years ago. He said, if I inherited a situation where I had a staff member who was negative, I would pay him a full-time salary and I would get him an office blocks away from the church and he'd sit in his office away from us and say nothing. Why? Negativity is horrible and it spreads like wildfire. Be careful who you're allowing to influence you. We are so, look, you're looking at everything that's going on and you're reading the news. You can read this guy and you can be encouraged. And you can read that guy and it's like, we're never getting out of this. It's probably somewhere in between, but we're so influenced by people. Let's look for people that are encouraging. Let's look for godly influences. I am so thankful. As a new Christian, and I've mentioned before, I was kind of in no man's land. I dropped out of high school. And here I was, and I wasn't college age, so I couldn't be in the youth group, and I wasn't in the singles group, and I was just there at the church as a new growing Christian. And there was some of the adult men in the church that took an interest in me, and they encouraged me. The assistant pastor, I've mentioned him many times, Brother Sisson, and I owe him a great debt. He loved basketball, I liked basketball, and he was a married man with children. And after the services, we'd go out in the back and shoot around, but he used it as an opportunity to be encouragement. Remember Greg Beard, and he ran the bookstore, encouragement. And other men there, they just saw me, and they saw this new kid, and they knew I was kind of like in no man's land, and they encouraged me. Look for people like that, godly influences. People that will encourage you. It's amazing how we can listen and be influenced by someone who is critical of Christ, Christianity, Christians in the church, and yet they have no close relationship to God. They seldom, if ever, attend a church, probably never crack open their Bibles, and they're the ones that we let influence what we think about the faith. That's not good. And that's going to cause us to be critical. That's going to cause us to be discontented with what God's doing in our life. So be careful about our acquaintances. And then they had a horrible assessment. Look at verse 5. Okay. Here's their complaint. We remember the fish. By the way, I hate fish. So this does not resonate with me, okay? Now, if they said, we remember the pizza, I'm in. We remember the fish, which we did eat in Egypt. Now, what's the next word? Well, now maybe I'm losing it here. I thought they were slaves in Egypt. I thought that they were miserable in Egypt. They make it sound like they're at a first-class buffet. I mean, we had fish. We ate freely. The cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, the garlic. I mean, we have all this good stuff in Egypt, and look, here we are, and all we have is this bread. Well, wait a minute now. You were slaves in Egypt. Nothing was free. The only thing free was your labor. And they only fed you to keep you strong so you could keep working. You know what happens? Our memory is so faulty of the past. We make a decision and we start to complain because, you know, by the way, just the nature of our church now, it's changing because we have so many families that have grown up and their children have grown up here, but there's still a lot. We got saved out of a life of sin. We got saved out of a non-church family, and we can look to the past. Look, the past wasn't as good as you think it was. Oh, I remember that old music. It's still garbage. I remember my old friends. They were still leading you down a wrong road. I remember everything was so wonderful. No, it wasn't. Our memory is so faulty. There was nothing good about my life before Christ. I had no purpose in life. I had no plan. I had no cause to live for. That all changed when I gave my life to Jesus Christ. And what happens is, the farther you get away from that event, you would think the more thankful you are. Look, I guarantee you, I would not have the family I have today, I would not have the life I had today, if I was still living the way I was living when I was not living for Christ. There was nothing good. Quit looking up your old girlfriends and boyfriends. That relationship was nowhere better than the one you have now. By the way, they probably weigh 3 bills anyhow, so don't even go look. I probably shouldn't have said that. I'm sorry. And by the way, you don't look very good either. Every now and then when we think too highly of ourselves, we need to walk by a mirror. But I'm just saying, what we do is, everything in the past was so much better. No, it's not. It's not. Everything before Christ, it's just, Paul would say, dung. Let's think correctly about what God is doing. Our memory's distorted. So they had a horrible assessment. Their situation, they did not look at. They had a horrible attitude. Verse 4, and the children of Israel wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? That is an indictment on God. Verse 10, when Moses heard the people weep throughout their families, every man in the door of their tent. Okay, what was the horrible attitude? Emotions took over. Emotion. We get way too emotional. Now, if you want to get emotional about loving God and cry during the songs, I'm all for that. I'm not personally much of a crier, okay? Except when the Rams lost the Super Bowl, I cried for a few days, but I'm good. I got over that. But But you don't have to cry to be emotional. The songs hit my heart. I wasn't sure you had a heart. I have one. but our emotions, and we get so caught up, and now we're crying and we're bellowing about what? Not that they didn't have food, but because they didn't have the food they wanted. It's complaining. And emotions. I've said many times, emotions are great servants, they're terrible masters. And by the way, all of us have times when our emotions get out of alignment. But you know, that's a good time to step back and don't make any decisions. When you make decisions based on emotions, you're making a really bad decision. It's time to wait. You know, I'm just feeling pressure, and I'm feeling this, and I'm feeling that, and I'm just going to do something. Don't do anything. Let the emotions pass. Oh, but you should do something. Get in your Bible a little bit more. Spend a little bit more time with God. Base your decisions on right and wrong. Look at things through the filter of truth, not emotions. You know, emotions are like the music in a movie. They set the tone for what's coming, right? If you're watching something, some show, and the music's all light and airy, good things are happening. But once the music, look, when I was a kid, Jaws was huge. Let me tell you, I'm not, spoiler alert, here's what Jaws is about. People being stupid, making a bad decision, getting eaten. Guys love that. Okay, so what about the dinosaur movies? Here's what happens. People make bad decisions. They do stupid things, and they get eaten by dinosaurs. But you know what I like about Jaws? Dun-dun. Dun-dun, dun-dun. You know what that means? It's gritting time. Someone's getting eaten. Okay? Oh, it's okay to go in the water. Dun-dun. Dun-dun. That doesn't mean they're going to get sunburned. They're getting eaten. The music tells me what's going to happen. Okay? That's how we are with our emotions. Our emotions, it's leading the wrong way. Bad things are coming. Don't follow your emotions and don't wash Jaws. Last, horrible actions. Horrible actions. We know what happened. Judgment came. God dealt with them very harshly because of what happened. So we saw that at the last verses. They ate the food. They were all fired up. God was kind of like, I'm not even going to wait for the judgment. The food, they don't even have time to get a toothpick. It's coming. And it didn't turn out very well. The bottom line, the people acted the way they acted is because they wanted to. They desired meat. They had to have it no matter what. They got it in their mind that that was the only thing that would make them happy, and it didn't turn out well. What am I saying? The bottom line for you and me is this. If we are struggling in our life, it's just because we have followed our own way and not God's. I mean, I like simplicity. I just do. I don't want complication. And so if I look at the Bible, I just want to boil it down. What's the issue? The issue is they did their own thing. They didn't like what God was giving them. They griped and complained. They did their own thing. Dunna, dunna, judgment came. And where they were was not God's fault. Where they were was not the mixed multitude. They allowed the mixed multitude to bother them. The issue wasn't the memory. They allowed their memory to take over. The problem wasn't their emotions. They allowed their emotions to take over. And so they ended up at a place and they were not thankful for where they were at. And it wasn't good. So let me just really be really practical and we're done. If you're discontented today, it's because you have made choices that have caused you to be discontented. You've chosen that way. If we are unhappy today, it's because we have chosen that path. If we are unspiritual today, it is because we have chosen that path. It's not because someone was mean to you at school. It's not because they didn't change your diaper in the nursery. It's none of those things. It's because you have chosen to be unspiritual. If you are unrighteous in the way that you live, you've chosen that path. If you are miserable in your life, you have chosen that path. Now let's flip it for a minute and let's be positive. If you are content today, it's because you have chosen to be content. If you are spiritual today, it's because you have chosen to be spiritual. If you live a righteous life today, it's because you have chosen to live a righteous life. If you are thankful today, it is because you have chosen to be thankful. Sometimes we want to look at somebody else and say, things seem to be going better for them. By the way, that's called covetousness. But things seem to be going better for them than I. What's the problem? The problem is, if it's true, it's because they have chosen the type of life and they have chosen to follow God, and that's what got them there. And you too can do that. Just because we desire something or want it does not make it right. Now, our society will tell you that. Follow your own path and you'll be happy. Lie. Do what makes you happy and you'll be happy. You don't even know what'll make you happy. This morning message, God created us and God formed us. He knows what's best for us. What's the point today? We're going to end up in life where we choose to end up. All of us face the same things. But wherever we end up there because we chose to end up there. And what was the problem with these people? They went their own way, and their own way was not the way to go. Now, sometimes we don't do that. When we think of that, we think of the individual that just totally has wrecked their life. But you know, good people do that. These nine areas, they'll follow God, and they get that one little area, and like, you know, in this area, I'm going to follow my own way. They may not face utter destruction, but in that area, they're going to struggle. See, it tries to get itself in the door. What do they say? The camel stuck its nose in the tent. And once the camel's nose is in the tent, eventually the camel will be in the tent. If you've heard that story. What about you today? Are you struggling with some things? We struggle with our faith. Is this really the way that I should live my life? Is this really the path and the course that I should take for my life? Let me just tell you, the Bible resoundingly says, yes. And if they would have followed God's will and they would have just followed his way, Egypt, within the time they left Egypt, within 2 weeks, they would have been to the promised land. It wasn't God's fault. They were there for 40 years. They chose their own way. And that's where they ended. I hope that we don't follow some of these. Let's pray together this evening. Our Father, I pray you'd be with us. I trust that the folks watching today, we're watching because we do love you and we do want to follow your will, but so often our flesh gets in the way. Our pride starts to bother us. Lord, whether it starts with a complaining spirit, whether we allow influences that are not right to cause our complaining spirit, whether we start to think about the past and what we feel we may have missed out on because we served you. Lord, maybe we're emotional right now and we're letting our emotions lead the way. Or maybe we're just taking the kind of actions we choose to take and we're reaping the results. I pray, Lord, you'd help us. May we understand and fully believe and have faith that you love us, you know what's best for us, and our best path in life is to follow you. Bless us now as we go. Until we are together again on Thursday. Help us during these times. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.